President-elect Joe Biden says it's going to be hard, but he's confident he can work with Republicans in the Senate to get things done. How much he can get done depends partly on whether Democrats win two runoff elections in Georgia next month for the U.S. Senate. Former President Obama campaigns for Democrats today. President Trump holds a rally there tomorrow.
And last night on CNN, Joe Biden said he supports a $908 billion compromise plan that was floated in Congress this week to help people, businesses, and communities struggling during the pandemic. The bill would also help pay for the distribution of a vaccine.
We're going to need a lot more. It's going to cost literally billions of dollars to get this done. We could keep schools open. We could keep businesses open. But you have to be able to get the vaccine distributed.
It's time for our Friday Politics Roundtable. Scott Wong is senior staff writer at The Hill. Hi, Scott.
Good to be with you.
And Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for NBC News. Sahil, welcome.
Great to join you.
Scott, why don't we start with you? This morning, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said why she's supporting a smaller bipartisan coronavirus relief bill now, after months of holding out for twice as much money.
President-elect Biden has said that this package would be just, at best, just a start. And that's how we see it as well. It's less money, but over a shorter period of time, and we need to do it to save lives and livelihood with the hope that much more help is on the way.
Scott, what do you think? This is a change of position from Nancy Pelosi. Did the logjam on this relief bill finally break?
Well, it certainly looks that way. I mean, we had an unexpected breakthrough this week with this bipartisan, bicameral group of lawmakers unveiling this $900 billion framework. It has gotten a warm reception from Pelosi and the Democratic leaders, not so much from Mitch McConnell and the Republican leadership on the other side of the Capitol. But I think what possibly could facilitate this breakthrough is these Republican senators like Mitt Romney and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. All of them have taken part of these discussions and negotiations and are pushing their leadership to come to the negotiating table and strike a deal, especially as we've seen the numbers just get worse and worse. You know, we're now at roughly 3,000 people, Americans dying every day from COVID. The cases are skyrocketing and the unemployment situation is not getting any better. And so a number of lawmakers, especially these centrist lawmakers, the deal makers are really feeling the urgency to get something done right now for so many people out there who are suffering.
Well, speaking of the Senate, Sahil, you spoke with Senator Josh Hawley, who told you that his vote is no unless the bill includes another round of $1,200 direct payments. Interesting. What does that tell you coming from a pretty conservative Republican?
It is an interesting response from Senator Hawley, who is widely viewed to have bigger ambitions than the Senate. He's kind of coming against this bipartisan package from both the left and the right. From the left, he says he wants the direct payments of $1,200 per person, or I should say up to $1,200 per person. It was in the CARES Act. It was very popular. He said he'd like to see that in there. Of course, the reason that isn't in there is that conservatives have complained about the price tag ballooning too much if those checks are in there. He also told me yesterday that he opposes additional aid to state and local governments, which is a common position among Republicans. One of two major hurdles to getting a deal done here. The other is liability protections that Senator McConnell has described as a priority for businesses and organizations from COVID-related lawsuits.
Scott, I have a question about something that Joe Biden said. He says he's confident that he can work closely with a divided Congress, but that it's not going to be easy. And I know you spoke with the House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Did he give you any indication that Republicans are willing to work with the Biden administration?
Well, what McCarthy told me yesterday was that he has a good relationship with the president-elect, that he said that when Biden was vice president, he would frequently have breakfast with them and that those were always very pleasant interactions. But there was no indication that they are prepared to work with the incoming president. Part of McCarthy's job in the minority of the House minority is messaging. And so you can be sure, based on what we've seen in the past, that they are going to be relentlessly attacking the president-elect, especially because McCarthy feels that he's really on the cusp of taking back the majority in 2 years. They're only a handful of seats away from flipping the House of Representatives. History has shown that the party in power in the White House frequently loses seats in the House. And so McCarthy really feels like he's on the cusp of not only the House majority, but the speakership itself. And so he doesn't have a real political incentive to work closely with President-elect Biden.
Sahil, I wonder if you can comment on what Joe Biden said in terms of how he's going to face this enormous issue of the coronavirus pandemic right from the start. He's urging Americans to wear a mask for 100 days to bring down coronavirus rates while a vaccine is rolled out. What does this tell you about the strategy that he has to this number one issue facing him?
Well, this has been a central component. It was a central component of Joe Biden's campaign message in 2020. Maybe the single biggest reason that he is the president-elect and that Donald Trump has been defeated, because Trump was just widely seen to not be taking this deadly pandemic seriously. Biden certainly presented himself as someone who was. He's talked about wanting the public to wear masks for 100 days. He has said he's going to keep Dr. Anthony Fauci on staff at the White House as the nation's top infectious disease expert. His future was in doubt if President Trump had won a second term. He is also assembling a team that's going to focus throughout the administration on tackling the coronavirus. And look, he's going to be judged on this because he made this promise. He campaigned as a president, as a potential president who's going to get this under control. And now he's got a daunting challenge ahead of him to try to do that as cases are surging. The death toll is climbing, and he is likely at this moment to face a divided Congress in the sense that he'll have to work with Republicans to get aid packages through next year. So I think what Congress is working on now is being described by Speaker Pelosi and others as a bridge to the Biden administration. It would get through the first few months of next year, and then it's going to be back to the drawing board, figuring out distributing the vaccine and figuring out what more needs to be done in terms of economic stimulus.
Sahil, I do want to follow up with you for just a moment on the masks here. The science is clear. Masks work. We know they have also become so politicized. I mean, do you think that Biden will run into any politics here? Will it hurt him at all to come out with this 100 days of mask wearing, do you think?
I don't think it'll hurt him because he's been very public with this for months. Most Americans support wearing masks, and those who don't probably didn't vote for him to begin with and probably aren't going to come around to him. So yes, of course he's going to face politics. Of course he's going to face protests. The fact that so many conservative voters were active against mask wearing under President Trump suggests that if a Democrat is in the White House, you will probably see them crank up the volume even louder. But again, these are figures who we know oppose Biden and who he's probably not going to win over. And he probably he can, you know, garner support from a majority of the country without winning anti-mask wearers.
Yeah, you got to wonder if people who believe masks should be in place are probably wearing them anyways. This week, Attorney General William Barr said that the Justice Department has found no evidence of widespread fraud in last month's election that would overturn the results. Yesterday, when President Trump was asked if he still had confidence in Barr, this is what he said.
Ask me that in a number of weeks from now. They should be looking at all of this fraud. This is not civil.
Scott Wong, is Barr going to be fired? And does it really matter with just 40-something days left in Trump's term?
Right. If Trump did make that move, it would be purely symbolic because both of them will be out of power in a number of weeks. But I think Trump is trying to send a message to the Republican Party and specifically Republicans that are looking to run for president in 2024 that look, if you cross me, if you don't stay in line, if you, if you contradict me in any way, as we've seen during the past 4 years of his administration, that he will take retribution out on you. And so he is sending a clear message with this threat against his normally very loyal attorney general, sending the message out to the rest of the Republican Party that even though he will be leaving office in a number of weeks, he still has a firm grasp on this Republican Party.
Very briefly, Sahil, We only have about 30 seconds left. President Trump says that he may run again in 2024. Does that freeze out other Republicans, or has the party and is the party moving beyond him?
The party is not moving beyond him. I think that'll certainly freeze out some other Republicans. It's probable that he would begin as the immediate front runner if he were to run again in 2024. And just to return to the beginning, the first topic we had, when I spoke to Senator Hawley yesterday, he said he would support President Trump if he were to run in 2024, and that he would not run in 2024. He said it would be almost certain that Trump wins the nomination again. So that's someone who is rumored to be considering it, telling you he'll support Trump. I think that's a significant signal.
Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for NBC, Scott Wong at The Hill. Thank you.